This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Always good to have my good friend Randy Karancian with us from E-Bike of Colorado, 544 Front Street, downtown Louisville, ebikeofcolorado.com. Randy, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Scott.
What have you been up to these last few weeks?
Oh, you know, we're selling bikes and trying to take care of this heat. I've lost.
The heat does that to you. I'm telling you, it's going to be warm here for a few days, I think. Absolutely. But at least we don't have the humidity that like Texas, Missouri, Kansas, some of these other cities have. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you remember a few weeks back, so I was going to get a bike from Randy. Randy hooked me up with one. We got a great bike. And Randy, man, I just got to take a few minutes and talk about this because it's been, you know, for several months now talking about e-bike and being very transparent. And I said it a few times. I hadn't really been on one and didn't really have much knowledge of them until I met you. Getting on the bike, and now I have to say, first time in probably 40, 45 years even been on a bike, all right? But, hey, what's the old saying? Whenever you haven't done something, they go, it's like riding a bike, right? Hey, it all comes back.
It's just like riding a bike.
Pretty easy. But I'm telling you, man, it has brought so much, number one, enjoyment, just to get out and just kind of clear your head and ride a bike a little bit. But it's also taken away a few misconceptions of even early on what I thought an e-bike was, and then how easy it is to operate, and yet you're still getting a lot of exercise. So the one thing I want to say quickly is sometimes, and we actually asked someone this morning about an e-bike, and they thought, well, but I want one I have to pedal. Okay.
Yep.
You do have to pedal an e-bike, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Right. That's a misconception. You know, it's not a motorcycle. It's not a moped. It's not a throttle-only type of bike. You know, and they make bikes class 1 and 3s. Mm-hmm. They don't have throttles. You have to pedal the bike to engage the motor. And then on a class 2, the style you have, you can pedal it and engage the motor, or you can use that throttle boost. Some people refer to it as a boost. I think we were talking about this, Scott. You know, you're at your stop sign. It's your turn to go. The traffic is everywhere.
Right.
You use your throttle. Your balance may not just be right at that moment, and you use that throttle just to get your momentum going just a little bit, and you get through the intersection, let go of the throttle and start pedaling, and then you're golden again, and you're back pedaling the bike. People, we see it all the time. People are just using the throttle, kind of like a moped would be.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they're going to burn that motor up.
Sure.
You can't stress that motor
that
much.
No, boost, that's a great terminology, because that's exactly, now that you've given me the terminology, that's exactly what I've used it for, just to get across something real quick for safety or whatever. And, you know, and even getting going on the bike. Sometimes you're just at an incline or,
yes,
you know, you're going up a hill.
Exactly.
Man, just to hit it, get going, and you're good. And the ease, man, of just while you're riding, I mean, right at your fingertips. You don't have to change anything really about your grip on the handlebars, whatever. I mean, just to hit those different levels of the pedal assist, it's so easy.
It is. It is. So that's how you control the motor output. You know, there's usually anywhere from 4 to 6 levels of help, of output from the motor. But you also have gears. Some of these bikes have 24 gears. Some have 8, 10, 12 gears. But, you know, and you want to use those gears as well as your pedal assist levels, because you want to spin still. You know, you want to keep that momentum going, and that's going to give you the most battery life. And people have this battery anxiety thing. Am I going to run out of battery, and I'm going to be pedaling a heavy bike? Because we might as well address that. They're heavier bikes. When you add a 10-pound battery and a motor that's, you know, somewhere around 12 or so, and controllers, you're gonna add 25 pounds to that bike. You don't feel that when you're riding it. You notice that.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's like if you're loading it in your car or your truck, maybe you might feel that weight.
Sure.
And so riding the bike with that little bit of a boost and that whole pedal assist, and you're spinning that bike just like you would a regular bike if you're climbing a hill, that keeps you engaged, and it's going to take you all kinds of places, and you're going to get, you know, somewhere between 40 and 60 miles on a bike. We've got bikes that'll take you up to 120 miles on a single charge. And I just looked at a brand we're going to bring in over 200 miles on a single charge. That's a long day sitting on that
That's
seat.
A long day.
They call it a saddle, but I call it a seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. And, you know, and here's one thing I want to tell people, too, is, I mean, I did like a, I don't know, it was about 10, 11 miles, I guess. And, again, I'm not trying to set any world records. I did it in a little over 50 minutes and a lot of different inclines up behind the Cabela's at Lone Tree, taking us back through our area and Highlands Ranch there. And, you know, use the pedal assist maybe to a level three a couple of times, but most time a two, and then sometimes a one, and sometimes nothing, where I really wanted to get that burn knee replacement a few years ago. But I can control the stress level on my knees,
yeah.
Okay? Just very easy. Again, at the touch of my fingertips, I'm still pedaling. I'm still burning calories. I mean, it was like almost 700 calories burned in just, 50-something minutes. And so, I mean, I think a lot of people, I just want to get where everybody understands because, I had no knowledge of this, so I'm assuming maybe some others don't either. I mean, this is a great still exercise to get out and do
yep.
with an e-bike.
Yes. And, you know, you make the point about you don't have to really look at your handlebars. Right now, you've ridden the bike enough.
Oh, exactly.
It's
yeah.
all intuitive. You could do it all by feel. You know where those buttons are.
Mm-hmm.
And you just press the button that you want. You know, you don't even have to look at the screen, really, to see what level of pedal assist. Because you're going, I need to tone this down or I need to boost this up a little bit.
Sure.
Climbing those hills, that does help. We always say they flatten the hills. E-bikes flattens the hills.
Yep.
But like you said, if you want to burn a few more calories, you want to get a little bit more exercise in your legs and your ankles, your knees, and your hips, you tone that down mm-hmm. for maybe halfway up that hill.
Right.
And then you go, okay, I'm going to bump it up now.
Sure.
I've had enough. And as you ride, and you know this, Scott, because as you ride more consistently, you get stronger quicker.
Absolutely.
And before you know it, you're going to be putting 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 miles on that bike in a ride.
Right.
And you're
going to
bring in that.
Because I used to hear some friends go, oh, I did a 30-mile ride. And I'm like, are you nuts?
Yeah.
Man, I don't even like driving 30 miles. But on this, it really goes by in no time. And as I said earlier, I think we all need to get out and just see the mountains and breathe some air. And, man, it's therapeutic to get out and ride.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and sometimes when you're riding like 10 miles in 50 minutes, that's 5-6 miles an hour, you know, mm-hmm. Average, right? And people say, well, I drive on the highway at 60 miles an hour. But when you really look at your average speed, it probably drops down to about 30.
Mm-hmm.
When you start getting an average speed of 18 miles an hour, there it is, right?
Yeah.
1 hour, you'll go 18 miles.
Absolutely.
And it's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get a good workout.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go back through the process just a little bit, because one thing I appreciated, again, not having any knowledge of this, is your staff helping me pick the right bike, okay? I mean, man, you've got a great selection there in your store, and hey, it'll be a little deceiving when you pull up at E-Bike of Colorado there at 544 Front Street. You kind of see a small, you know, little bike shop, but inside it is wall-to-wall bikes, plus you got a warehouse.
Yeah,
so.
I was gonna say.
But I'm gonna go back and just them helping me pick the right one, because they just really asked me good questions, you know, what did I like to do, you know, and of course hunting and stuff. We go on our Sportsman of Colorado show too, but and getting in the outdoors, but then wanting to get some exercise. But I'm not going to be a world cyclist here either, so they helped me pick the right one, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I was going to say, they listen to what your style of riding, mm-hmm. which may, in some cases, I don't even have a style of riding. It's been so long since I've ridden. And before you know it, they're putting you on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bikes.
Right.
Just try this. Just try this. And that's our tagline. Just try it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to make that decision. And I would say that if when you come back in from, how was that, Scott? How did you do on that you know, I liked it. Right. I kind of like that first one a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Well, here, let me get you on a different bike that's very similar to the first one. Maybe it's still a rear hub drive motor or the mid drive motor. You know, we talk about that as well. The different feels of riding bikes. And we have people that buy off the internet, right? And they don't know what that's like. They don't know the difference. We have such a large selection to test ride.
Right.
That, I mean, 18 brands, and sure. All those brands have so many models in there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a good sampling of a lot of different types of bikes. It may not be the cheapest bike. There's a lot of times where people come in thinking that buying an expensive bike, the most expensive bike, is going to be the answer. We don't do it that way.
Right.
We go right back to you. You can try that you know, $8,000 bike, but what about that $2,000 bike?
Yep.
And that's great to be able to do that, because we don't care what you buy. It doesn't matter to us, right?
Sure.
We don't push anything one way or the other.
No. Again, Randy Kranz is with us. E-Bike of Colorado, ebikeofcolorado.com, 544 Front Street, downtown Louisville, 720-739-0299. Now, you mentioned something there, and I want to talk about this a second, and that is the internet. Now, all of us like to save money. All of us like to feel like we got a good deal. But here's what aggravates me, all right? And a lot of businesses I do business with, and gun shop, different thing. People order a gun from, you know, online, have it sent to one of our gun shops. The guy, you know, gets $35 or whatever for the background check, receiving it and everything. There's a problem with the gun. They come back to that gun store expecting them to do all the service for it. And, folks, that ain't how that works, all right?
Not at all.
You want to save your $50 on a gun? Hey, happy you can do that. But you know what? If you get it from the store, you get the service from the store. All right? And, I mean, I think people need to understand that.
That's true. And there's a lot of internet bikes being sold out there that actually have proprietary-type componentry. They crash their bike. They break a derailleur. We've got to get a new derailleur for them. And we can't get that one. So now we have to then change cassettes and rebuild that. And that's upsetting to them because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if that's a bike that they bought through our shop, we're going to be able to get those parts. Heck, we don't even have to go back to the manufacturer in most cases. They're
right.
Parts that are available through our different distribution centers of parts and that type of thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, and I think it's important for people to realize this. I know the internet's a powerful place to do purchases, but and you can't test it when you're on the internet.
Sure.
I had a customer come in. They bought them on the internet. We assembled them for them. We put them together for them. They would have saved $79 if they would have bought them from us, because that all is included in our fee. But the point is that she then said, hey, I'm having a hard time with my bike. I don't think it's the right bike for me. If they had bought that bike through our store, which is a brand that we sell, we would have immediately switched that bike out for her.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure she's on the right bike. We want to make sure that they're enjoying that bike. Otherwise, you're just throwing money down the tubes, and that's not worth it.
Sure. And, you know, the benefits of also buying there local, again, all the service and everything, and then you do at 250 miles, you say, hey, bring it in. We'll, you know, go through the bike, reset some things that maybe need resetting, but that comes with it. But not when you order the bike.
No, no.
Okay.
So that comes as a free service. So you get the first tune-up right out of the box, mm-hmm. right when it's built, and then you get a second one at 250 miles, and then you also become a club member, and then you get, you know, proprietary. If your bike is out of that 250 mile area, or say it's got 2,000 miles on it and it wants a tune-up, you'll get proprietary booking. On that. And, you know, bike shops are really, really busy these days. Sometimes you're 3, 4, even 6 weeks out, I'm hearing a lot of shops are, whether it's an e-bike or a regular bike.
Right.
So that's a benefit. but buying through us, and like I said, you get the proprietary type VIP treatment, I guess.
Sure.
Would be a way to look at it.
Absolutely. Once again, Randy Kranz is with us, E-Bike of Colorado. You'll hear Randy on our Haystack Help Show as well as Sportsman of Colorado. So I'm going to switch over to the outdoors for just a minute, because now that I've really got to experience this, Randy, I mean, it's made me think about, you know, the upcoming hunting season, all the benefits of having the bike. And I tell you, and not in any specific order here, but hey, a lot of guys and gals are already out scouting. And Randy and I were talking a little bit before we came on air today, is boy, when you go into scout, you don't want to get in there and disturb the area too much. You just want to see what the animals are doing and what's there and all that. And man, no easier way to do that than on an e-bike. All right, so boy, that's a great tool for that. It's super quiet. You're not disturbing you know, the animals, the environment around on an e-bike. Maybe you've got some tough terrain you want to get up, and most of us, if you're walking around, if you're walking around, you're making a lot more extra noise. So again, that e-bike is super, super quiet. You can get into your areas quicker. Maybe instead of leaving at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, you know, you can leave at 5:30 and make it in there on your e-bike. If you've got some extra things to carry instead of breaking your back, man, easier to pack it in on your e-bike is super beneficial as well. And again, no detection that you're even there. And they are super, super quiet. And I'm telling you, I am just so excited to have my e-bike from E-Bike of Colorado. But Randy, these are really getting into the outdoors. They really are, for hunting, fishing, camping, or just, again, just to get out and explore.
Just to get out and explore. Yeah, the scouting thing has really starting to come on board. People are coming in. They're picking them up to do the scouting. Then we made a huge commitment and brought in multiple brands, very well-known brands, Orbea, Cube, Bulls, Highbike. These brands are all well-known in Europe. And full suspension mountain bikes, some hardtail mountain bikes. They just have the front suspension, not the rear suspension. And different type of riding, single track riders. Some of these young guys, younger people are really finding out that e-biking on single track is just amazing. Matter of fact, two of my guys went out, younger guys, went out. One had an e-bike and the other one didn't. And the most popular bike out of those two was the e-bike. And he's going, I didn't realize on single track. They ride them on the trail systems and stuff like that. These guys are cyclists. You know, these guys are real hardcore bikers. And they don't want to put an e-bike on a single track. And he said, we were fighting over the e-bike the other day.
I bet. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Another thing I want to talk about here, and it's kind of been the news lately, is there's been some programs for e-bikes, you know, in the Denver area especially. So kind of talk to us, and we've seen the word rebate and different things. So tell us, kind of educate us what's going on there.
Sure. This has been an interesting run on this. The city of Denver has offered a rebate program of up to $400, in some cases even more, on cargo style bikes. It's an income limited program, so you can't make it's more of a moderate to lower income type person, and then they have to go in and get a voucher. They get the voucher that say it's worth $400. They bring it to a bike specific shop in Denver. Their selections may be somewhat limited. I know there's one that's getting a lot of news press right now, and all they have is fat tire bikes. Well, that's not for everybody. And then there's other shops that just don't have the selection that we have. So we made the choice to honor that $400 rebate. We take that out of pocket, but you have to bring us the voucher. So you've been, and if you live in Denver, that's the only way you can get the voucher. So you bring that voucher to us, we will meet that, and it'll come right off the invoice on that. That's, you know, that comes out of our pocket. We don't have any way of going back to the city of Denver and getting our $400 back. But we felt that we want to help that customer. And Longmont actually has also done something similar to this as well. And so that's for a resident of Longmont.
Okay.
and Louisville hasn't caught up to that yet. And so anyway, if there's a rebate out there and there's a voucher system or a coupon system, bring it in. We'll honor it.
Okay. All right. That's great. And again, it's at 544 Front Street. Their number is 720-739-0299. And you know what? Hey, folks, don't do this. Don't think, okay, I get this rebate, got to go to one of these shops, and you end up getting the wrong bike or not a bike you like. That did you no good at all, right? So you can come to Randy. He's going to honor that for you. And then you have the ginormous selection of bike and the knowledge of his staff that, as I said earlier, helping me get my bike. They will help you get the right bike. So, again, 544 Front Street in downtown Louisville. So what do you think, Randy, just a couple of things that, you know, you've been in other shops, you hear stories from customers that come into you. What are you guys finding that you guys, and just brag on yourself a little bit, but what do you guys, do you feel like, do better than, you know, most shops around?
Well, first, I think when you come in, we're very welcoming, and I'm not saying other shops aren't that, but we are just very much about, when I first started looking, before I decided to get into this business, I'm not a cyclist. Mm-hmm. And I went into a shop, and they don't treat you very well. They have this attitude that they're a bike shop, and they're a little bit arrogant about that. And that was the first thing that hit me. I'm used to customer service. We really take care of our customers.
Right.
We help them understand. We are very, very patient with people. It's important that somebody hasn't ridden a bike in 20 years, that they get the opportunity. We help them in the parking lot, become familiar with the bike before we send them out on the Coal Creek Trail right there in Louisville. And it's got shaded trees, so that helps with the heat.
Sure.
And all of the things that follow that. And it's a nice trail. You rode it.
Oh, Scott. Absolutely.
You know, you get to climb. You've got the flat, and then you climb, and you get a good feel for what the bike can do. And then it's a fun shop. We laugh, we joke, mm-hmm. we have fun with people. It's not about having to be so serious all the time about this. And selection, you know, we talk about the store selection and how many bikes are actually in the store. But then I took you over to the warehouse, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
And there's forklifts running around.
Everywhere.
And there's bikes.
Everywhere.
Yeah, they're stacked six high. They're boxed and palletized, and they're six high in that warehouse. It's a sizable space.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got full-time warehouse people. So we're a full-service shop that way, open 10 to 7, 7 days a week, which is pretty good as well. And everybody works as a team. And so, you know, there's different personalities, obviously, in the people that work there. But we're going to make sure we're going to work very, very hard to get that bike to you as quickly as possible and professionally assembled without any issues.
Right. And another thing you mentioned, you do have bike rentals. And as you mentioned, with the trail right there out your back door, you know, people can come and test ride any of the bikes that they like. But, hey, if you want to take family up and rent some bikes and just kind of get a feel, you can do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We see a lot of that. You know, Boulder County right now, this is interesting because they're sending out a survey that they're saying they're trying to promote more e-bikes on the trail systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they have three options, and of course they give option B because they're trying to skew the survey and promote it into their agenda, their hidden agenda. And we are a very, very strong proponent of A, and that's just basically wherever there's a bike goes, an e-bike can go. Okay.
Sure.
If you want to help with that, you don't have to be a Boulder County resident to do that. If you want to help with that, just call our store or email us at contact@ebikeofcolorado.com, and we will send you the link to the survey, and you can fill it out. And we strongly support alternative A.
All right.
And that's going to give a lot of people a lot more opportunity to ride bikes. And that's what we've got to do, right? You remember the snowboard skiing situation years ago?
Sure.
Hated snowboards. Everybody hated snowboards. And couldn't even – some of the mountains wouldn't even allow them. Now snowboard – it's not even talked about anymore. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's talk about in the last few minutes here, but you guys do a lot of great events, too. Again, you like to stay in touch with your customers, and you know what, man, you get to meet a lot of nice people and an e-bike crowd of all ages.
All ages, yeah. And we build community around that, mm-hmm. right? That's another thing that our shop does. We do group rides on Sundays, and sometimes we'll do them in the evenings. As it gets a little bit cooler, we'll probably do some – I would love to be able to do some evening rides where we see moonsets and things of that nature. Yeah. There's a lot of talk in our store right now that they want to do some e-bike mountain clinics. Now, I can't do that, Scott. You've seen me. I can't. I'm not of that ability, but I'll tell you what, out of our employees, there's a tremendous amount of them that are unbelievable mountain bikers.
Yeah, and they can you can tell those guys are in shape, man.
Yeah. And those guys can make any bike dance, let alone an e-bike. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, once again, it's ebikeofcolorado.com, 544 Front Street, their number, 720-739-0299. And maybe you've been thinking about this, and hey, I know, you know, man, a lot going on. And man, I filled up yesterday, Randy, $118. So, you know what? Hey, riding a bike is cool. Now, it's just got a lot better, but it is a fun thing to do. You know, hey, maybe it's by yourself, maybe it's with your wife, maybe it's with your family, but it is a great thing to do to get out and just, man, as I said earlier, it's very therapeutic just to get out and look over at the foothills and breathe some air and just get out and ride. And if you haven't given them a chance, as Randy said, just try it, all right? You can improve your way in the out. You're out in the outdoors, and all you do, maybe it's hunting, fishing, camping, or as I said earlier, just exploring. E-Bike of Colorado is standing by to help you right now. So check them out, ebikeofcolorado.com, 544 Front Street, and the number is 720-739-0299. Anything coming up real quick you want to mention? Got about 60 seconds here. Anything else event-wise that you got coming up?
I'm trying to think. You know, I don't have anything. Well, you know, we'll have our Liberty Parade and things like that.
Okay, yeah. And they can follow you guys on social media.
Y'all
do a great job.
Yeah, social media, Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. I think we're on Twitter now.
Okay.
Things of that nature. And, there was something. I lost it. That was coming to mind, but anyway, it's worth the drive. It is
absolutely
definitely worth the drive to come up and at least see what we have to offer. And mm-hmm. Great little restaurants right in downtown.
Yep,
you know, so you can grab a bite to eat, come up, try some bikes,
man.
Grab a bite to eat, maybe make a decision, maybe not. Maybe you
make
need to
new
come.
Friend. No, whatever.
Whatever it is, yeah.
All right, Randy. Hey, man, we appreciate your time very much.
Thank you, Scott. You're being great for us. Thank you,
buddy. Randy Kranzi, E-Bike of Colorado. Hey, when you go in, let them know you heard them on Haystack Help or Sportsman of Colorado, whatever show you may have heard them on, but just let them know you heard them on KLZ 560, and we would appreciate that. And again, if you just caught some of this interview, the rebates that you're hearing about, Randy is honoring out of pocket those $400 rebates that you can get in the Denver area. So just stop by and see them, and they'll take great care of you. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Kurt Rogers with Affordable Interest Mortgage. You've heard me for the last 8 years on KLZ, and today, my senior reverse mortgage manager of over 16 years, David Olson, has important information on reverse mortgages.
Thank you, Kurt. I specialize in reverse mortgages, and as a senior of 75 years and owning a reverse mortgage, we face many precarious financial events. Today, we're facing a 40-year high inflation rate. The words inflation and fixed income are not compatible. How do we protect our financial stability in these difficult times? By having access to an increasing home equity line of credit, where your unused portions grow in value. An income stream for life, just like Social Security. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Just call 720-895-0500. Join me for a free, no-obligation conversation, your table or mine, and learn how a reverse mortgage can help you. That's 720-895-0500. David Olson. Relieve some of your financial stress in these trying times. That's 720-895-0500.
NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. As mentioned, our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. It's always good to have Dr. Shane Stedman, the owner of Integrated Health Systems, with us. So, Dr. Stedman, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Have a good weekend.
I did. It was crazy busy with soccer, and we went to the Kenny Chesney concert. And
oh wow, and, how was that?
Oh my gosh, it was pretty amazing, actually.
Really?
Started at 5, and got done at 11 o'clock. So
oh my, wow. Well, good deal. Well, hey, glad you had a great weekend. Hey, I don't know if we've really ever talked about this subject today through the years with the show here, but. This is something, and it was kind of an even new terminology on the one of them when you sent me the message and gave us our topic, but ticks, and so, and it's not the bug and the insect or whatever, the ticks that we think about, but T-I-C-S and Tourette. So kind of walk us through just a little bit, maybe, you know, how common this is, and then just defining both of those, and we'll get into this topic today.
Yeah, I thought I'd throw you a curveball.
Well, you did. Normally, I'm trying to throw you one, you know?
I know. Well, you know, what made me think about it is, I mean, probably over the last 5 months, the amount of kids that we've had come in with ticks, you know, and or Tourette's has been really high. And so that's why I was like, oh, we should talk about that on the show because, I mean, it's something that we do see. And I would say, most year after year, you know, there'd be like a handful of kids that come in, but for some reason this year it's been quite a few kids, and they actually, there's a lot of things that we can do holistically. And so that's why I was like, it could be a good thing to, you know, talk about on the radio. And maybe there's a lot of people that know somebody with, you know,
sure,
ticks or Tourette's, and go from there. So yeah, ticks are, you commonly see those with people that might have like, you know, the blinks, you know, they're talking to you and they constantly have to blink all the time. But what people don't know is that sometimes, you know, those ticks can show up as things like clearing your throat or like a little cough, you know? So sometimes people go, huh, yeah, so-and-so is always coughing and they're always clearing their throat, or man, they must have a lot of phlegm, you know, or something like that. And as funny as you kind of sometimes think about ticks, you almost like start going back through all of your friends and people you've always known. And you go,
sure,
I think so-and-so had ticks. I think so-and-so had ticks. And so that's kind of what we kind of know is ticks. And you've probably seen them all the time. And probably the most common one is, you know, just the blinking, I would say, you know, where somebody's talking to you and they just kind of blink a lot. And you're just kind of watching them. You know, Tourette's technically are kind of when somebody has like both motor and vocal tics. So meaning motor would be like blinking, but maybe the motor tic would be like saying a word or saying a phrase or making a noise. You know, so you have both that motor piece, which is a blinking, or a hand movement or a fidget that's kind of repetitive, and then you add in a vocal piece, and that typically is kind of what people will say is more of the diagnosis for Tourette's. And so sometimes you'll say like tics and Tourette's, but you know, tics might be a little bit more simple, kind of non-rhythmic, kind of these weird, not weird, but these kind of abnormal movements of like the face, the lips, the cheek, the eye, a twitch, and they're just kind of non-rhythmic and they happen at different times, where the Tourette's definitely gets more into, you know, people saying things or like these outbursts of sounds. There's a couple of people I follow on Instagram, and one of them is, I think she's in her 20s, and she really just educates the world on her Tourette's. And I love watching her. I think she's super vulnerable and she's fun to watch, but you know, at the same time, I think she makes it so you can laugh with the condition, you know, so sure. She's trying to, I think one of them, she's trying to bake, you know, and so she's, she's doing a whole video on her and her friend trying to bake with her Tourette's, and she ends up like throwing flour all over the place and she has these like weird jerky movements and then she'll you know, blurt out something, you know, that's so bizarre and abnormal, and it kind of makes you laugh, but then on the same token, you're like, man, that must be incredibly hard to deal with every single day.
Sure.
You know, so there's a couple of people on social media that are super fun to follow. And I say fun because you do get a laugh at it, but I'm super impressed that they're that vulnerable and opening themselves up, you know?
Right. Now you say you've seen more in this. So what age are you talking about?
So usually, you know, you tend to see a lot more of kind of like younger kids. That's kind of what's coming in the office. But that seems to be when you see a lot of like the tics coming on. It's usually younger. Like you'll see them around maybe 5, 6, or 7, you know, and it's like they blink a lot or they cough. Or like I had one little girl, she's 4, and she has these really kind of almost like violent head jerks. You know, she doesn't have any vocal pieces, but she'll all of a sudden like jerk her head and then she'll like twitch her face. And they can hurt sometimes. You know, and when you're a little kid and you don't know what's going on, it's like your neck starts hurting because all of a sudden you get this like jerking spasm. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's when parents are like, okay, we got to do something because this is, it's hard in school. It's hard to make friends, you know, and the other kids don't understand.
Sure.
And so that's when we tend to get a lot of patients is that age group where sometimes you get them when they're in high school, but they've already kind of gone through, you know, well, let's try this medication or let's try this medication. And so now their friends have accepted them. You know, so sometimes we'll see them in high school, but mostly they're in like middle school and elementary.
Right. So through all these ones that you're seeing now, have you been able to put your finger on, so to speak, some of the common threads with this of what's causing this for these kids?
You know, one of the biggest causes that they've been talking about is kind of a condition called PANDAS. And that's something that it's interesting because now I would say lately when parents come in with their kids, that's almost one of the things they're asking me. They're like, have you heard of this term? But PANDAS is kind of a neurological autoimmune condition. And so PANDAS is kind of, they call it like a pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep. So it's kind of for short, they call it PANDAS, and that S is for strep. What is really interesting is that, you know, most viruses and some bacteria have a type of long hauler. You know, we heard this with COVID all the time. We got COVID long hauler syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But most viruses have a long hauler. That's nothing that's really new. And some bacteria actually have a long hauler. And the strep bacteria is actually one of those that has a long haulers that can cause tics and Tourette's in kids. And so this, a lot of times this kind of comes about when somebody's had like multiple cases of strep growing up, or maybe they had like a 100-day cough and strep wasn't really diagnosed fast enough and they didn't get on antibiotics. And so then it led into a long hauler of tics.
Right.
And then sometimes too, you see that, you know, a lot of times the diagnosis of strep is, hey, let me look in the back of your throat. You know, I don't see any white streaks, so I think you're fine. That's not always the case either. You don't always get white streaks with strep infections, and so it gets missed. And then somebody can have strep, and what happens is that bacteria then starts leading to a neurological autoimmune condition called PANDAS, and that's, they're saying it's probably one of the most common causes of ticks and trusts that are out there.
Wow. Very interesting. Dr. Shane Steadman is our guest, Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. So let's talk about the treatment of, you know, just let's say a regular MD, how a parent may take a child in and how a regular doctor may treat it versus how your treatment may go at Integrated Health.
You know, I think that's what's interesting, that the treatments for, you know, for this tend to kind of be almost like a trial and error, where they might try some like medications that are movement disorders, mm-hmm. you know, but there's not really a lot okay. that they kind of do for this, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And I think that's why we see a lot of people that kind of come into our office because they're like, I don't know what else. You know, it's like you have medication and if that works, great. And sometimes it works, but it's all kind of based on like calming down the movement disorder. What we try to do here in the office is we kind of try to take more of that holistic approach of saying, okay, well, is this from a strep bacteria? So there are some tests that you can go and say, okay, is this from some kind of infection that caused this? And is this more of an autoimmune condition? Because if it's an autoimmune condition, then what things can we do to support the immune system? And there are some really great things like, you know, glutathione or vitamin D or fish oil. There's actually some really cool things that we can try and say, can we help to either modulate or support the immune system that way? And then can we get, if the strep is still there, do we need to do some things to work towards it? Like, do we actually need to get medication involved, mm-hmm. you know, an antibacterial medication to kill off the strep? So those are some of the things that we look at, but then we try to, then we go after the neurological rehabilitation of this, because once it affects more of it's the movement part of the brain called the basal ganglia, and that's kind of where you also see like Parkinson's and some of these other like movement disorders, but that part of the brain is what's affected. So can we go through and do some rehabilitation? Can we give some brain exercises to start modulating the movement part of the brain so we can get it to like normalize? So it's kind of like this multi-tier approach where you have to look at, you know, some supplemental pieces, some maybe medication if needed, some brain exercises, and then even diet. I've seen diet have a huge profound effect, because if somebody has an immune issue and then they're eating foods that are inflammatory, right. Well, that's just going to contribute to the immune system being upset and causing these issues. And so it kind of becomes this multifaceted kind of layered approach to helping people.
Right. So do they, so as you go through this treatment and trying to manage this, it sounds like, I mean, does it turn into something worse? Is it something that you know, you can reverse or they can grow out of, or where does the story end kind of with it?
I've actually had a lot of great successes with reducing it significantly. I've had some patients where we've actually gotten to go away. I know like the 4-year-old girl that had, you know, the pretty severe head movements, you know, that was definitely hard for her because her classmates are, you know, they're little kids not realizing why her head is jerking hard. Mm-hmm. And so we got all of her movements to go away, and every once in a while they might hear her clearing her throat. You know, so that was really good. We had a 25-year-old that came in with Tourette's, and so he would, you know, kind of like have these vocal tics, and then he would kind of spit and sputter and almost have like Tourette's or not Tourette's, but like stuttering, you know, with it. And it was hard for him to have a job, because when customers would come in, they're like, this guy is, I don't want to see this guy, you know? So having a job was tough, and we actually got him doing pretty well, where even his facial expressions weren't crinkled anymore. So he would just, if he got stressed, his voice would kind of start to stutter a little bit, but overall he was doing well. So I say that to say that there is actually a lot of hope mm-hmm. in things that we can do, you know? And usually I think most people do really well until something stresses them out. And then sometimes you can see them come back, but the goal is too, is that if they come back a little bit and you know what you can do to calm it back down, whether it be exercising or deep breathing or, you know, what have you, then that's really good for the patient, because you got to figure out what you're going to do from the time that you're 7 years old until you're 90, you know?
Right. Have you seen this?
Some kids grow out of it and some don't.
Right. Have you seen this in families where, you know, maybe a brother and sister have it in one family? I mean, is it genetic like that?
I haven't really seen it kind of running through families. Every once in a while you'll kind of hear, you know, like you might see like the blinking in like a dad and maybe the blinking in a kid. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, every once in a while you kind of see that. But it seems like most of it is something kind of affected the brain, whether it might be a birthing issue like hypoxia, you know, where the cord got wrapped around their neck, or it was a strep infection or a viral infection. I had a little kid that his parents went through a really nasty divorce, and the kid started having like these tics, you know, so the amount of stress at that age,
sure.
You know, really kind of impacted how the brain functioned. And then they came up with tics, which, I mean, you would think that should be easier, right? Just have the kid do some counseling, you know, do some brain exercises, you know, and things should be good. And so that's kind of where each of the treatment plans can be a little bit different. But yeah, I would say mostly it's something that kind of triggered the brain versus genetics.
Right. Once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Shane Steadman is our guest, Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. Dr. Steadman's kind to give our listeners a free initial consultation. So, hey, if our topic today is something of interest to you, give them a call, 303-781-5617. So as you go through this with kids and all, are they aware of it as you get to just kind of, you're just that initial consultation and you're talking to them, what does that look like with a little kid, you know, that's 5, 6, 7 years old?
No, most all of them are aware of it, because I mean, some of them get made fun of at school.
Sure.
You know, or they're having a really hard time focusing in school or just sitting. I mean, some of those kids like have a hard time just sitting there, because if you're like blinking or your mouth is moving or your head is jerking, it makes it really hard just to stay in class, you know? So a lot of them are aware of it. And I think, you know, that's kind of where they come into the office. I think it's a lot of times the family comes in, you know, because mom and dad are definitely concerned. The kid is struggling, you know, but what do you do for this? And so, yeah, definitely the kids are very, very, very much aware of this.
Sure. So when you get into the diet of this and everything, I mean, little kids, even 5, 6, 7, you can see things in their diet that are affecting this. That's crazy.
Yeah. Usually the direction that I go with kids that age, because I mean, kids sometimes it can be tough, you know, with certain kids, you know, because certain kids are picky eaters or, you know, things like that. And so a lot of times I'll kind of go after maybe three big things. I'll say, actually, this was last week, we had a kid with Tourette's, and he's an older kid, so it makes it a little bit easier, but he still, I don't think I was his friend by the end of this, but I told him, I was like, can we, you know, take out wheat? Can we take out dairy? And then can we take out red and blue dyes? You know, and which in a kid's world, that can almost be everything.
Okay.
You know, from pizza to waffles to sandwiches to crackers. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, he might start crying. But the thing is, like, if we can take out those things, those are some of the more inflammatory foods that's in our society, you know, because of, you know, how we process them or how they're grown or what we do to the food or whatever. Those tend to be some of the most inflammatory foods. So if we can take out those foods, then we can see how big of a difference that can make. Because sometimes you might have the leftovers from a strep infection, but now you have something else that's contributing to the current situation, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So if we can kind of identify what are the inflammatory things that we need to eliminate or to identify, then that makes it a little bit easier, I think, for all of us. So that's kind of where the diet piece comes into play. Sometimes if they're older, I might do a little bit more like, let's go into a paleo diet. But I think kids, sometimes if I can get wheat and dairy and dyes, that could be a huge success.
Right. You know, some things we talk about, we use the word disease after a condition. This, the most time I've heard of Tourette, I hear the word syndrome. So why that word after Tourette?
So syndrome, anytime in medicine that you see the word syndrome, it usually indicates that there's like three or more like possibilities or three or more types of conditions that could be blended. So yeah, it kind of makes sense because you might have, you know, a vocal tic. Tourette's also might have a comorbidity with something like ADD. Tourette's could have like maybe a movement of the body parts, you know, like a tremor or something like that. So anytime you get into syndrome, there's usually more than three symptoms kind of attached to it. And so that's why you kind of see that more than a disease. So it's always kind of a good thing to know. That's why it's sometimes hard on syndromes, because it's like, well, it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, but it's a goose. Or it kind of quacks like a duck, but it has a tail.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it kind of looks like this, but it doesn't. Or everything does, but one piece of the puzzle doesn't really match it. And that's when you start seeing kind of the word syndrome. And it just kind of makes it a little bit tougher to necessarily treat, because it's not like this specific thing is what caused this, like each and every time. You know, like thyroid disease. It's like, well, we know that the thyroid is in a disease process. So we know with the disease, we give this medication, everything should be great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as black and white with syndromes.
Right. Now, with characteristics of someone that is suffering from the Tourette, I was talking to someone here at the station, and they were talking about they've heard of maybe where someone may give outbursts of saying different things. Do you see that a lot with someone with Tourette?
You know, you definitely see that more often with Tourette's, where they'll have like an outburst. And sometimes it can be an outburst of what's like perseverating or looping in their head. It'll just blurt out. it's like the one girl on the face on Instagram. It was interesting because, you know, I follow her, so her stuff pops up. But I think her latest one was like, I hate men. So it was kind of funny because, like, you're like, what's going on in her head? So she's like, you know, she's sitting there like putting on her makeup, and all of a sudden she just blurts out, I hate men. And then she'll go back to like, you know, doing something. And you're like, oh my gosh. You know, so yeah, you can have these like different maybe thoughts that are in your head that might blurt out. So the kid from a couple weeks ago that we were working on, you know, I was even kind of being careful about things that I said, because if I asked him a question or if there was something that was kind of emotionally charged, like, you know, how's school, or how's your friends or whatever, then also like it kind of played into his Tourette's a little bit.
Oh,
and so you can say some really, you know, so sometimes you hear like cuss words, you know, which again, it's not funny, but it's like, you know, watching some of these people on social media that do it, some of the cuss words they say, you're like, oh, wow.
And it may not even be in their personality, right? I mean, it's just something.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can definitely come up with words or string phrases together that you're like, ooh, that's intense, you know, and then they just go back to normal. Like, nothing ever happened. It's a really fascinating syndrome, you know, and I think a lot of people are just struggling. But there, I think at the end of the day, there's some really cool things that can be done, you know, holistically, maybe, you know, using some medications, but there's some really cool things that can be done.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, along with all the other things that parents and kids go through when there maybe is a condition, you know, for a child. I mean, boy, this has to be, like you say, really tough on the parenting, because they're wanting their kid to have a normal life and then to go through school and, you know, not be teased by their classmates and all that. So, I mean, is there some counseling almost in this too that you do with the parents?
That's a great question, but I would say probably not too much, because I think the parents do a great job of accepting it. And what I've seen with a lot of kids is that they're close friends and family. They love them and accept them. So, it's like, how do you, almost have to like educate your community, like your school.
Sure.
You know, but I also think, there is some sympathy that does come with kids, because like, you know, if a kid has like this weird jerky movement, you know, yeah, there's always mean kids around, but I think to the most part, a lot of them are going like, oh, they can't control this, you know?
Hmm.
I'm sure there's got to be some counseling along the way. You know, because I could not imagine how hard it must be, you know, but I don't have to do much of that, because I think the parents are pretty grounded. They're just like, what else can we do?
Right. and left untreated. I mean, you know, someone may be listening and saying, hey, I didn't even know there was anything you could do for this. But I mean, man, it's sure worth the phone call and visit to come in to see, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, there are some things. And I think if left untreated, then it just, how many more years does it need to affect somebody's life? Or, like the older guy that came in, you know, with it, he's just kind of like, you know, like, I'm done, you know, because he was actually doing some Ubering, and he was talking about how there was people that were leaving him bad reviews because he was having, like, these, you know, vocal, you know, tics and these tremor movements, you know, which was kind of unnerving the passengers, you know. So
well, yeah.
Like, I had to give that up, and it makes it really tough. So at some point he's like, I'm done. Like, I gotta fix this so I can have a job and have a relationship and, you know, and go to that next stage of my life where it's like having a family and doing all these things without scaring off my dates and scaring off my coworkers.
Sure. You know? Well, I never even thought about that, you know, having the Tourette, especially with just driving and everything, if that's a safe thing for them. So have you seen some conditions where it wasn't safe for them to drive?
I mean, most of the time it's safe. It's just hard. It just makes it really hard to drive because if the driving gets stressful, then the more the ticks come out, you know?
Wow. Well, that's easy in Denver traffic for it to be stressful.
for real. Yeah. If you're going I-25, you'll just come all over the place. And I think, you know, stress brings it out. So even if you're going to work and work is stressed, then they come out. Or kids are taking a final exam, then they come out. Or if you're going through, like, a bad breakup, and then it comes out. You know, so it's like, it's so ingrained at times with stress that how do you get away from that? But then the more you stress out over it, the more that they come on. You know, so if you're really nervous about a date, and what's the date going to think, and the more that you're stressed out, now you're going to bring out those movements. You know, and it's just a really hard thing to battle, you know, on a day-to-day basis when you're trying to live life. So I think the sooner you can nip it in the bud, or the sooner we can find out, can we reduce this 50%? Can we reduce this 70%? I mean, 100% is awesome, but sure. Even if you can say, okay, this is what we can do to knock it down 60%, and if you get into these situations, try X, Y, and Z, because that's how your brain works. You know, there's some really cool things that maybe we can do that are kind of pseudo coping skills or things to calm it down so you can go do life, you know. And there's so many different ways to kind of go about tics and Tourette's, but I think that's to your point, that, like, it's better to get this checked out sooner than to go on year after year after year when maybe you don't need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, wow, fascinating topic. And hey, maybe you know someone that their child is suffering with this, or it's in their family, and maybe they don't know there's help out there. Please tell them about Integrated Health Systems and Dr. Shane Stedman. Once again, the number is 303-781-5617. Well, Dr. Stedman, as always, thank you for your time, sir, and we'll look forward to our visit next week.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. You as well. Once again, that's Dr. Shane Stedman. As I mentioned, free consult. Give them a call, 303-781-5617. Thank you for being with us today for Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.